Thank you, Sarah. Our final news stories include a time capsule being unearthed, problems accessing buses with a buggy, but first, a bitter battle.
It's a story of the ale of two cities. First in Norwich, which has a well-established reputation as a centre of beer brilliance, which once had a pub for every day of the year, and has launched a city-wide festival that inspired others across the country. There's the younger pretender, Sheffield, where academics at the University of Sheffield have commissioned a report to stake the city's claim to being top of the hops. It claims Sheffield is the UK's beer capital with the number of new breweries increasing and a high number per capita. The report's author, Peter Brown, a beer writer from nearby Barnsley, notes in recent years Norwich has staked a claim to be the UK's premier cask ale destination and has gone pretty much unchallenged. It could easily turn into a bitter battle with accusations from the steel city of Sheffield turning into steel, that's S-T-E-A-L, steel city, in a quest for hops and glory. The last city to try and nab Norwich's ale crown, York, was seen off following a comprehensive beer census. It was hard work, but somebody's got to do it. By members of CAMRA, that's the Campaign for Real Ale, in both cities. Its members found that Norwich had 254 real ales available compared to 247 in York. Dawn Leader, the co-chairman of Norwich's City of Ale, which was launched in 2011, said she welcomed the competition. You can't blame Sheffield for wanting to stake their claim, and breweries per capita did not stand up to scrutiny, as figures included many breweries outside the city, such as in Doncaster and Rotherham. But she added, I think it's a very healthy competition.
For many, London 2012 may seem like yesterday, but for many children at school today, the Olympics were more than half a lifetime ago. So there was nostalgia when pupils returned to Angel Road Infant School yesterday to open a time capsule buried 4 years ago containing their memories of the Games. PE coordinator Michelle Driscoll said items in the capsule, including programmes from London 2012, items donated by local competitors, photos of the Olympic torch in Norfolk, and commemorative stamps were in good condition when they came out of the ground. Pupils at the junior school, who originally buried the capsule, were joined by those at the infant school for the event. Miss Driscoll said, 4 years for them is a long time. The 8-year-olds who came across were very nostalgic. It doesn't seem long, but for them it is. She said they were already looking forward to the 2016 Games in Rio, and the school is planning a video message for a school in Brazil to share its experiences of the Olympics.
A new 1.8 million fleet of double-deckers aim to encourage more people to use the bus. But an Eton grandmother has already identified a problem with the 9 new Pink Line services for First Eastern Counties. They cannot fit a double buggy on board. Jill Smith, 71, of Osborne Road, regularly used the route from Eton to Anglia Square when her 3-year-old twin grandchildren, Amelia and Samuel, were visiting. But when the new buses came into service, she discovered their buggy would not fit in the designated bay on board, as the position of a metal post made the area too narrow. The firm has admitted that the bus design meant Mrs. Smith and her husband Peter could not take the buggy on board. However, they insisted it would affect very few types of pushchair and said customer services could tell her what type of service was operating if she rang before a bus journey. Mrs. Smith said that the staff at first had been very polite, but this wasn't good enough, and having to phone in advance was not an adequate compromise. It's not the most convenient thing, as with children, you don't always know when you're going to go out, she said. Steve Wickers, business director at First Eastern Counties, said the buggy was larger than normal size. We operate different types of buses in Eastern Counties, all with different dimensions and layouts and interiors, he said. But in normal circumstances, we can accommodate the majority of buggies, pushchairs and wheelchairs, with their different shapes and sizes.
The ambulance service has explained why it took almost 1 hour to respond to a serious accident in the city centre. Paramedics were first called to Brick Street at 2:05 p.m. after a woman suffered a serious head injury when a sign fell from a shop front. But a witness at the scene said an ambulance didn't arrive until close to 3 p.m. A spokesman for the service said the delay was caused by the information it received from the call. He explained, "The call was originally coded as a green call based on the information provided by the caller, which requires an ambulance response within 30 minutes. Three more 999 calls were made, and at the time of the final call at 2:41 p.m, the patient's condition had deteriorated. The information provided by the caller deemed it a red call, which requires a response of 8 minutes, of which we managed to arrive on the scene at 2:50 p.m. The woman, who is in her 20s, was taken to Norfolk and Norwich Hospital for further treatment. Clark said it was investigating the incident as it happened outside its store.
And that's all from this edition of Chatterbox. When you've finished with this memory stick, pop it into the wallet supplied and drop it into a postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn the address label over. And there's no postage to pay at all. Don't worry if you haven't listened to everything by next week. Keep your memory stick until you have listened to everything that interests you. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to the team that produced it. The editor was Sarah Lusher, and the sound recordist was Brian Kerridge. We always like to hear from you, so please do call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. Or visit our website on cbtn.org.uk. From everyone at Chatterbox, goodbye.